Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. I went to bed way before 3:30. Amen. And, amen, I had a good night's sleep. Let me tell you something. I am impressed this morning with the messages. You young men did a fine job. You did a fine job. And it tells me something about this church. Because if they got that out of being raised in this church and raised in this youth group, then that means to me that every one of you got a lot. That was sound, and it was well delivered, and it speaks for everybody in here. I see now what you've been exposed to a degree I never saw it before. And boy, that means, I mean, we had even less excuse, amen, not to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, because you got it. You understand, amen, that, man, we do owe Him. We owe Him. And so praise the Lord. And I couldn't have asked for a better intro for this message that the Lord gave me a couple weeks ago for this morning than what Brother Lewis brought. So take your Bibles and go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I have a new designer shirt. I came up with it, my very own design. Say, how do you get that? Well, you take a pen and put it in your pocket without the cap on. And that's, how do you like that? You bring your shirts over. I'll help you out with that. Amen. Real unique. Amen. That's just how the devil likes to distract. And tell you what, it's going to take more than that. I am privileged. I'm honored to be here. Amen. So if you can get by that, I can. And amen. John chapter 6 this morning, we'll begin reading in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus lifted up His eyes, He saw a great company come unto Him. He saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove Him, for he Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto Him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, He said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Father, I come to You once again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate, Father, this meeting and the opportunity to be here. Thank You, God, for the good spirit and what we've already heard. I pray and ask Your Lord God, You might take this passage, allow me to say something that'll coincide with the spirit of this thing and be a blessing to Your people. Father God, I love You this morning, and just again, thank You for the privilege to be Your child. Help me never to get over it. And thank You for putting me around people that are excited about their salvation. That fires me up, and that's what we're supposed to do for one another. And so, Lord, I just pray and ask God that You'd meet with us in a mighty way, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, now you've got, this is the account, of course, of Jesus feeding the 5,000 there. And, okay, now we say this. We say you need to read your Bible. You need to get to a point. You need to mature in your Christianity to a point where you're reading through your Bible every year. That'd be a good goal. Maybe, you know, you're not there yet. That'd be a good thing to shoot for. I want to say this. You need to make a point to read through the gospel accounts, amen, of the Lord's ministry more than once a year. Amen. They're important. Amen. And you got to understand this. The things that made it into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were very carefully chosen by the Holy Spirit. There's a multitude of things, but the things that made it into those four books are extremely unique because it says in John 21 and verse 25, it says, And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. That's how John finishes the gospel. And if all the things Jesus did would fill enough volumes that the planet couldn't hold them, that tells you this right here. The things that made it into that book are more important than sometimes we give them credit for being, okay? And now, you've got the accounts in the gospel, of course, you got the road to Calvary, the crucifixion, all that. But you've got the miracles. You've got miracles of what Jesus did. The Bible said the Jew requires a sign, and he did a lot of miracles, amen, to prove to them, just like the result of this here, of a truth, this is the prophet that should come. That's what it was to prove. The miracles, people like them, some people know more about them. Some are only in one gospel. Some are in two out of four. Some are in three out of four. But this one right here, is the only miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ did that is recorded in all four gospels. Amen. You read through that thing, that again, in and of itself, makes it pretty important. Amen. And now, for our purposes this morning, I want to go to John, where we already are, where we read, and say this. This one, John's gospel, is the only one that mentions specifically where the five barley loaves and the two fishes came from. All right, read again, verse number 9. There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? So, it's a youth rally. I concur. I have a horrible testimony. I'm ashamed of my testimony. I'm ashamed of the disgrace it brought on my family. I wish it wasn't so. I wish I would have got in and sold out as a young person in church. I can't do anything about that. Amen. I'm like Paul. He gave his testimony about all the bad things he did to show what God could do. I guarantee you he hated going over that in his own mind, let alone having to say publicly. The best testimony there is to get saved young and then to sell out and give your heart to Jesus Christ, and you'll do more for the glory of God than folks like me will ever do. Now, so I concur with what these men said. I'm in full agreement that the best testimony is the one that you have the capability to maintain right now. Now, if you've already messed up, well, then you get back on track and you start today. But some of you are at a point in your life where you have not been contaminated, and you are under the preaching and the teaching and the guidance of folks that care about you to such a degree that, hey, you know what? When I got saved, I went to a pastor school when I got out of jail, just a 3-day meeting, and an old preacher that was a heroin addict before he got saved came to me, and he said this. He said this. He said, Brother Spurgeon, no matter what anybody ever tells you, you can make it. That meant a lot to me. I had just turned 38. I didn't know what Christianity was. I didn't know anything. I just knew that I deserved to go to hell, and I didn't have to because what Jesus said. And now I got an old soldier that got pulled out of a life of sin similar to mine, encouraging me, and that encouraged me. I got news for you. You can make it. You can make it. You can get saved young. You can sell out young. You can live for Jesus Christ. You can do more for God than some of us will ever do. You can be a blessing to God. You can. And no matter what anybody tells you, no matter what this world tries, this world, the God of this world is the father of lies. Isn't he? So let's talk about this. Like you say, we're at a youth meeting, so we're going to look at where this stuff come from that the Lord used to feed the 5,000, and it's such a significant miracle that it's the only one that got mentioned in all four Gospels. Let's look at it. It says that there was a lad here, so that's who we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the lad. Amen. Number one, who was he? Who was he? It says he's a lad. Now, if Andrew, I don't know how old Andrew was. He's the one doing the speaking. I don't know how old he was, but if he's my age, that kid could have been 30. Amen. I look at Paul. He's a lad. Amen. To you, he's old. But not to me. Not to me. But, you know, we don't want to know what my opinion of what a lad is. Let's see what the Bible has to say about it. Let's see if we can find something out about this guy. Andrew says, there is a lad here. And take your Bible. Hold your place there. We're going to be in John chapter 6, but flip over to Genesis chapter 37. And let's see if we can't compare Scripture with Scripture a little bit and get some kind of idea on how old this guy is. How old he is. It just says there is a lad here. Genesis 37 in verse number 2 says this. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. You've got an account here where Joseph is referred to as a lad. He's feeding the flock. Amen. He's productive. He's able to take on some responsibility. And that passage specifically says that he's 17 years old. This thing says that the Lord fed the 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes from a lad. And so I submit to you that that he's a young man. And most likely, comparing Scripture, he's most likely a teenager. Amen. Amen. Lord used him mightily, didn't he? John made a point to put in the account that this came. The other gospel didn't mention where it came from, but the Bible saw fit to put this down, I think, for your sake, for my sake. Amen. To show you that God can use a young person. Let me say this. God is every bit as interested in young people as he is old folks like Paul. It says in Mark chapter 10, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in. And you're not little children by any means. I wouldn't imply that, but I'm going to say it again. The Lord's interested in young people. Amen. There's no doubt about it. There's a song. I know you're afraid I might break into song. I'm going to try not to, but there's a song that goes like this. I am so glad God saves old sinners. You heard my testimony like that. I am glad God saves old sinners. But listen, I am a father. I am a grandfather. Amen. I have children. I'm glad God saves young sinners too. Amen. And I'm glad that he can pull people like me out of that horrible pit that I talked about last night. But I tell you what, he can keep you out of it. That's even bigger miracle to me. Let me say this to you. Don't you ever apologize to anybody for having never lived wickedly, for never having smoked a cigarette or drank a beer or done something you ought not to do. I gave my testimony, and people do get it wrong. And people will read the track and say, "Oh, Brother Spurgeon, you got a great testimony." That's hogwash. I got a terrible testimony. My testimony isn't near as good as some of yours. I'm telling you the truth. I didn't even have enough sense to get saved. Amen. When I was a teenager and I had a chance and I was raised in church and I didn't have as much sense as some of you had when you was 10 years old. It's a great testimony what Jesus can do in the life of a sinner. That's what it is. I gave my testimony one night, and a 14-year-old girl, they asked for testimonies, and a 14-year-old girl stood up, and you could tell the apology in her tone of voice. She said, "Well, I don't have a testimony like Brother Spurgeon, but I just want to thank God he saved me when I was 10, and I grew up in this church." I think, my God, man, don't you ever apologize for never having lived wickedly. God's interested in keeping people out of the mess every bit as much as he is able to pull them out. Now, what we see travel around is sometimes Christian kids get into sin, amen, because they really don't realize what they're capable of. Amen. You've heard the preaching. You've heard testimonies. You've heard warnings. Amen. Week in, week out, year in, year out. And still, sometimes Christian kids grow up thinking, "Well, all that may be well and true for this person or that person, but I'm going to be the exception." No, you're probably not going to be the exception. Amen. That's a lie out of the devil's hell. Amen. I've heard it said like this from the pulpit, and this is based on Luke 7. It says, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." I've heard it said that sometimes people in church, been raised in church, they don't love the Lord as much as somebody that got pulled out of a mess like me, because they didn't have as much sin to be forgiven. I tell you what, that's not true. I hope that's not true. That doesn't seem right, does it? Listen, it seems to me like you've got every bit as much reason to love the Lord Jesus Christ as somebody like me. Come on, man. That Bible says all flesh is as grass. You are capable of every wicked thing. And if you got kept from that, but you let the Lord keep you from making a mess, you've got more to be thankful for. Amen. And that's the way I feel about it. Amen. And to the truth, man, the truth is nobody that is forgiven, could it be true that little is forgiven, man? We've all been forgiven. If you're saved, you've been forgiven of a sin that's going to take you to a devil's hell. Listen, it takes the same blood, the same cross, the same love, and the same grace to save a 10-year-old kid as it did that guy you heard about last night. Amen? You know what? We're talking about this lad, and point number one is this. Who was he? And by outward appearances, he's just a normal kid, probably a teenager, but the Lord used him, didn't he? Yeah. All right, number two, where was he? You know, Andrew said there's a lad, we got that, here. It says there's a lad here. So I start thinking, okay, where is here? Where is it? Where are they? Geographically, it said in the earlier part of the passage that Jesus had departed from Jerusalem and headed north, amen, to Galilee. In verse 1, and they went over the Sea of Galilee. I was looking at the map, and they came in from the south, and they transversed that whole Sea of Galilee from the south to the north. They're up there on the north shore. And it said there in verse 3 that Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. There's a lad here. Geographically, they're on the northern shore. The Bible says in the other accounts that it's a desert place. You're in a mountain in a desert place north of the Sea of Galilee. Geographically, that's where they are. But specifically, you know where they are? They're where Jesus is. Amen. Matthew 14 and 14 said, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Same account. Mark chapter 6, verse 34 says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. This is what Jesus is doing. Luke chapter 9 and verse 11, and the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Okay? And John had said in verse 2, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were deceived, or diseased. He said, there is a lad here, and here's where Jesus is, where him, and it said, filled with compassion, he was teaching, he was expounding unto them the things of the kingdom of God, he was healing their sick, amen. That puts here, it said, there is a lad here, that put here, right where Jesus is, I'm talking about, that puts here, hey, where the action is, amen, right in the center of the most important going on that's ever going on in the history of mankind. It's right there where Jesus is doing what nobody had ever done before. And that Bible says that this teenage boy was right there where it was going on. He was in the place to be. Why was he there? Why was he so close? He didn't want to hear about it later. You know, they talked about Jesus' fame preceded him. Everybody knew who he was. Everybody heard about what he did. But there are some people, they didn't just hear about it. They saw it. They followed him. There's a multitude that followed him around. Amen. They weren't the ones hearing about what he did. Hey, they were the ones telling about what he did. His kid didn't want to hear about it. Boy, when he heard that Jesus was coming to the area, amen, he got there. Whatever it was he was doing, he dropped what he was doing so he could get where Jesus was. Listen, in the old days, I talked to you about that motorcycle gang lifestyle. Let me tell you something. I rose to second in command worldwide, the youngest national officer they ever had. Why? Did you want to be a leader? Did you want to? No, I didn't want that. I just liked what I was doing. I didn't miss anything. I participated all the way, everything I ever did. Why? Because I hated being told what I missed. That's how I'd go if you ever something was going on, a run, an event, and for some reason you couldn't get there, and then when the people that were there, they'd say, oh man, you should have been there. It's happened or that happened, and it was great. I hated that. I said, enough of that. I want to be the one telling. I don't want to be the one hearing. You know where this guy is? He's right there where Jesus is. He's not going to hear about the Lord moving. He's going to see it. He's going to be able to tell others. You notice this. He wasn't in the bathroom. Amen. He wasn't in the basement. He wasn't in the back row. Like my wife way back there. He wasn't on the fringe or on the edge. Or he wasn't hanging out and talking with friends. He wasn't texting. You guys, I got to hand it to you. People say, do you know how to text, Brother Spurgeon? Well, yes or no. Basically, I understand the principle. But if you ever watch me try to do it, you'd probably say, I don't know how to do it. Conversely, I watch young people. I'm talking about they don't even have to look. Why do you say that? Because I seen it going on while I was preaching. Well, that tells me the mind isn't on the message if you're sitting there, magic fingers. I don't even carry that stinking telephone into church. Amen. Because I come to church, I want to hear from God. And he has never called me one time on the phone. Amen. This kid, he's not, we walked in the back of a church one time, and there's the person sitting, he wasn't a teenager, 29 years old, and he's sitting there, he's on his phone, he's playing video games. And then later on, I've seen people that do that go up to the altar. And I'm thinking to myself, Man, they weren't there. They're not doing any of this for the right reason, because they weren't paying attention. They didn't get anything from God on that video game. This kid's not texting. This kid's not playing video games. He's not checking his Facebook account while he's in church, while Jesus is doing what Jesus is doing. Listen, it says, there is a lad here. Who was he? A young person. Where was he? He was right up front. How do you know? Jesus asked Philip, what are we going to do about feeding them? Philip says, we don't have enough money to feed them. Andrew stands there and says, there's a lad here. How do you know that? How do you know that? That kid had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. Because that kid was in the front row. That's how you can tell. That kid was right up there, close enough to know what was going on. Close enough to know what they needed. Who was he? Young person, like you all. Where was he? He was right where he's supposed to be, right where that action was. Amen. And how was he? How was he? Well, it says in Matthew 14, it says, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. That's food. Amen. It says the time is now past. What time is past? It's evening. What time is past? Supper time. That's what's time. It was the disciples that were getting hungry, and so they were pretending that they were worried about the people, but it's probably just the disciples that were hungry. Amen. But this kid's not hungry. This kid's not worried about that. The very issue that brought this miracle that's in all 4 Gospels and brought it to the Word of God is the fact, the issue had to do with food. These folks have been following Jesus, hanging on his every word, seeing his miracles and getting healed, and it's supper time now. It's past supper time, and the issue arises about feeding them. But again, this kid's not worried about it because, well, he got his lunch. Say, how is he? He's prepared. He's prepared. Amen. He's got his lunch with him still, and it's not lunchtime. Oh, by the way, the title of this message is The Lad Loses His Lunch. That's it. I told my wife, I'm going to call this The Lad Loses His Lunch. And my wife said, they're going to think he threw up. Amen. I said, well, young people don't like that. That's good. Amen. But he didn't lose his lunch. Amen. Not like that. Amen. Why? Because he hadn't eaten yet. Listen, if Jesus was doing all this healing and teaching and preaching, amen, it must have been pretty interesting, because now it's past time, it's evening time, and he still got his lunch. I'm talking about he is hanging on the edge of his seat, if he had a seat. He was so interested in what the Lord had done, he didn't even eat. That's probably a miracle in and of itself. Amen. This kid's got his, how was he? He is prepared. He came to get something. He wasn't going to have to leave and go find some food. He wasn't going to be distracted from the message because he was hungry. When this kid came, I'm going to tell you what, he came with what he needed. He was prepared to stay and get in and get everything he could while he could from the Lord. Amen. How was he? He was prepared. Again, maybe the Lord feeding the 5,000 wasn't the only miracle that took place that day. Maybe the fact this kid still had some food left, maybe that is a miracle. Amen. Who was he? How was he? Where? Who was he? Where was he? How was he? He was prepared. And then again, you got the response. What was his response? How did he respond to the need? He did what he could. He did what he could. Again, I submit to you, he was up close enough to what was going on that he realized that they were having a discussion about food. The Bible indicates that he offered his lunch. He offered his 5 barley loaves and his 5 fishes to Jesus. Well, because, the Lord would never have allowed them disciples to go take it from him. Amen. He must have offered it freely. Obviously, that wasn't enough. There's 5,000 men. We'll see later. There was more than that. It wasn't enough to scratch the surface of the need. Amen. That's what Brother Mike was talking about. But he offered it. He gave it to the Lord. He said, there's a song. I'm reading the words of it this morning. A friend of mine wrote years ago. The song was called, Lord, Here's My Basket. Maybe somebody's heard it. It's about this very account of the Lord feeding the 5,000 with the stuff that was in this kid's lunch basket. The verse kind of went like this. Lord, here's my basket. It's not much I know, but take it and use it. Please don't refuse it. Maybe it will grow. Amen. He didn't have much, but he gave what he had to the Lord. And the Lord used it mightily. Last Monday, I was coming back from Connecticut, and my wife and I, we went over to Bridgeport, and we went to the Mountain Grove Cemetery because Fanny Crosby's buried there. And Frances Crosby, her name shows up over and over again in your hymnal. And our she is buried there. We went up there to see her headstone, her grave, and I did a little research, read some things about Fanny Crosby. I knew that she wrote a lot of hymns. I didn't know she wrote over 8,000 hymns. I didn't know that over 100 million copies of her songs had been printed. Amen. I didn't know she is in the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. Some publishers were hesitant to print, have so many Fanny Crosby hymns in their hymnal that she wrote hymns under over 200 pseudonyms. She also wrote over 1,000 secular poems. She wrote books on poetry. She wrote patriotic songs. She wrote 5 cantatas on biblical and patriotic themes. Amen. And plus, she was committed to rescue missions and well-known for public speaking. Well, sounds like a great saint of God. She was an infant, and she developed an eye problem, and a traveling doctor come through and put a solution on her eyes that burned her corneas off. Fanny Crosby is blind. Here's a little girl from New York City that was raised in a Christian family. She couldn't even see. She didn't read music. She learned to play. She had a desire to do something for the Lord. She learned to play by ear, and she wrote more songs than anybody. Boy, if there's anybody that had a little and gave it to the Lord, and the Lord multiplied it, amen, is Fanny Crosby. There was a need, and this kid, he didn't have the ability. He didn't write a check. Philip says, well, 200 pennyworths, and this kid didn't whip out his checkbook or his credit card and say, oh, I'll take care of it today. He looked at what he had, and it was nothing. His lunch. He must have had a loving mother, amen? The disciples were afraid that people were hungry. This kid, he's got a lunch. I'll tell you something about that lunch, though. Barley was the cheapest grain available at that time that could be made into meal, that could be made into a loaf. You know what that tells you? This kid's poor. This kid come from a very poor family. Must have had a loving mother. Amen? He didn't have some big fancy meal, but he had something. He had the best she could give her. My mom sent me to school with peanut butter and jelly. Amen. Amen. This kid at least had fish sandwiches. Amen? Listen, he didn't have much, but he gave it to the Lord. The Lord blessed it, and the Lord multiplied it like the song. Please don't refuse it. Maybe it'll grow. I just want to say to you that the Lord doesn't force us to use our resources, our gifts, our talents for Him. But like you men have already brought out very effectually, He'll bless them if we'll give Him what we got, if we'll let Him use us. Our best efforts pale in comparison to the need. But if we'll give the Lord what we got, well, the Lord can use it. He's not hindered. I heard a song. I will break into song. Little is much,
if God is in it. Labor not for wealth and fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? I mean, we live in a lost and dying world. Everything, like Brother Paul said, everything's against us. Now, us little group of believers, amen, we're the bad guy. We're the ones that, you know, we're not tolerant. We're the ones that aren't having any. I don't know how it got to be like that way, but I know this, and it's been said, the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life propitiation for the sins of many. And here we are with the truth. And according to Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. And they're just like a small group of them. But I'm going to tell you something, man. If we'll give what we got, we may not have much to scratch the surface of the problem, but if we'll let the Lord have what we got, well, he'll do more than we ever could. Amen? That's really the message here. That's the message. It said there's a lad here, and this lad, who was he? Well, he's a young person, 17 years old, looks like, something like that. And where was he? Well, he is where Jesus was. I mean, there's probably a lot of things going on, a lot of distraction, just like there is. It's Saturday. Amen. Praise the Lord you guys are here. Praise the Lord you're here on Friday night. Amen. A lot of things going on. Some of your friends going, you're going where? You're doing what? Amen. It's the weekend, you know. But this kid here, he went to where Jesus was speaking. He knew. Amen. He'd heard about this guy. He says, if there's something I can get, something I can learn, something I can use to be better in my life, I'm going to go there. I'm not going to just waste this weekend. I'm not going to waste this opportunity while Jesus is passing through. He was in the right place at the right time. You hear me? He was close enough to the action to hear that there was a need, and he offered up what he had. How was he? He was prepared to stay all day. But then he responded to the need by offering what he had. And last of all, how did he leave? Well, he left with more than he came with. He left with more than he came with. He saw and heard the Lord Jesus Christ personally. He watched him heal the sick and the lame. And I don't guess he'd ever forget that, what he saw that. Would you? I mean, if you saw Lord Jesus Christ healing lepers and healing the lame, that'd stick in your mind the rest of your life. Amen? Now, this dinner on the grounds that we're talking about that took place here started with this kid's 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, and well, look what the Lord did with it. It said in verse 10 of John 6, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. 5,000. This is the Lord feeding the 5,000. But Matthew's account says in verse 21 of chapter 14, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. If there's 5,000 men and a good part of them had their wives, and then another a good part of those families had a couple of kids, you could easily be talking about 10 to 15,000 people sitting on this hillside. Amen? Look what the Lord did with that kid's 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. In verse 12, John 6, the Bible says, and when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And it says in Mark's account in chapter 6, there were not only bread left, but fishes too. Amen? I like seeing this kid's mother's face when she told him what God did with what she gave him. Amen? He probably looked at that kid like he was out of his mind, and then she would have said, oh yeah, what was this guy's name? And the kid would have said, Jesus. And she said, oh, that's the one I've been hearing about. You got to remember at the end of this story, what did they know? This is him. This is the prophet that should come. This is our Messiah. That was the purpose of the miracles, to point everybody to God fulfilling his promise to send a Savior. I'm glad he sent a Savior. Simple message this morning. The lad loses his lunch, but he didn't really lose it. He invested it.
Mark chapter 8 and verse 35 says, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. This kid had given all. And you know what? Here's a perfect illustration. He didn't have much, and it's not much compared to the need, but he gave it anyway. And the Lord shows us from this that if we'll give all, if we'll give, like Brother Mike said, if we'll give what we have, the Lord not only can take it, not only can use it, but this kid left. He had five loaves, and then he got 12 baskets back. Exceeding, who said it? Exceedingly abundantly above that which we could ask or think. That's how the Lord does things. Amen? He had given all, and he left with a lot more than he came with. Here's a thought. I always would read that and I'd think, okay, Andrew said, there's a lad here, and he has 12, five loaves and five barley loaves and two fishes. I'm thinking, how does Andrew know that? And what if this kid did this? What if this kid who's in the right place, and he's right up front, and he's there to see Jesus, and he's there to get something from the Lord, and the Lord's teaching, and the Lord's preaching, and the Lord's healing, and he's right up front, and even evening has come, and the Lord's been at it all day too. The Lord's been preaching and healing all day too. And maybe this kid, noticing Jesus hadn't eaten yet. See, everybody else is concerned about them people. But maybe this kid decided Jesus hadn't eaten yet. What? Just a thought. What if this kid had told Andrew specifically? Maybe this is how Andrew knew. What if this kid said, Mr. Disciple, sir, you know, the Lord Jesus up there, he's been at it all day, and I heard you guys talking, and I know you don't have any food, but I got, it's not much, but I'd like to give it to the Lord. I'd like to give it to the Lord so that the Lord, what a thought, huh? Wonder what would happen if we could do that. Wonder what would happen if we just have enough faith, not just to be willing to give in a response that we are in response to a need we know about. What if we just surrender ourselves, our stuff, our life to Jesus Christ? What if we just would get on old fashioned altar and say, Lord, I'm not much, but if there's some small way you could use me, I'm willing. I just wonder. See, we say we have the faith that we've given him our sin for all eternity's sake. We're not worried about going to hell because we believe the Bible. We had that much faith. Isn't it interesting that we have to struggle constantly and be reminded that he'll take better care of us in this life? Amen? Then we can take care of ourselves. Well, how is it we can trust him within our eternal soul and constantly have to crucify this stinking flesh so that we can trust him with our lives? And the answer to my question was right there. It's because of this stinking flesh. It needs to be put down and crucified and the Lord lifted up all the time. I wonder what it would happen. Amen. On Staten Island, if at this very youth rally, perhaps somebody, maybe more than a somebody, would just surrender their basket to the Lord, like that song. Here's my basket. It ain't much, Lord, but I, like it's been preached already, I owe it to you. There's no doubt about that. Wonder what happened if we could invest our time, invest our talent, invest our testimony in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just wonder what would happen. He said in verse 9, there is a lad here which has five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? Well, not much. Not much. Simple message. The lad loses his lunch. Who is he? Young man? Teenager? Where is he? He's right place at the right time. How was he? He is prepared. He is prepared to get in, to hear and see Jesus. How did he respond when there was a need? He gave everything he had. And how did he leave? He left with a lot more he came with. How are you going to leave? Amen? I hope you leave here. Praise the Lord for the fellowship and the good time and all that. But I'm talking spiritually speaking. You can leave with more than you came with. you can leave closer to God than you came with. I hope you do. Here's some more of that song. I'm not going to sing it. It just became a poem. Amen. Now, in each and every life, there's a basket filled with goods. Although it may not be used exactly as it should, so many throw it all away or keep it for themselves, while others never use it. They just place it on a shelf. Lord, I know that what you've done for me, my basket can't repay. But maybe with it, you could feed some hungry soul along the way. Lord, here's my basket. It's not much, I know. But take it and use it. Please don't refuse it. Maybe it will grow. Although I could keep it, I'll give it to you. So, Lord, here's my basket. You don't have to ask. It's the least I can do. Who's got your basket this morning? Isn't it exciting? Man, I get chills just thinking about what God can do with a life surrendered. I'm amazed at what He's allowed me to see and get in on. But I'll tell you what, it excites me and thrills my soul because I know we can do with you folks. He may come back soon. I believe He will. He might interrupt all our plans. Boy, I'll tell you what, I want to be found faithful. I don't want to be found distracted. Oh, saved, yes, but I don't want to be found running after the cares of this world. Especially in light of the fact that I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, don't you? I don't know how long He's going to take, but I want to be found serving Him when He comes, and so do you. And I'm going to tell you how you do that. You give Him your basket. You lay it out for Him. You offer your all, like Brother Mike's already preached. And the Lord will bless your socks off. You say, well, I'm not sure about that. Why don't you try it? Why don't you prove Him? See, the problem is, He never fails. We just fail to commit. Why don't we commit this morning? Before we break for lunch, I've been talking about food all over an hour. Why don't we just make a commitment to the Lord here today? And I'll tell you what, your food will taste better. And your fun will be more fun. Amen? And you can have something that you can't get anywhere but from the Lord. It's called peace. Peace of God. Path us all understanding. This world don't know nothing about it. And I tell you what, there's a lot of Christians who don't know much about it either. But you're at the right place at the right time. Let's all stand and bow our heads. Paul, you come. And the altar's open. Maybe you need to come.